Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Beasley switching in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody, on the heels of the Killer Bees, and it's time to do some soccer talk here for the next 2 hours. Football, calcio, however you want to say it. It's a singular language. A game that is inclusive to all around the world. You know, I was thinking today, Brian, I have to think maybe the NBA is more popular globally than it is in the U.S. right now. Because it's popular globally.
I get where you're going with it. I don't know. I'd have to dig into the rating.
Trending.
Sure. It is growing faster maybe overseas. Yeah, that's fair.
All soccer players want to be around the NBA, guys. Well, a lot of them. Not all of them. All right, welcome in, everybody. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. I appreciate you tuning in. Reminder, you get the podcast of this show at places like Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, and then right here at ESPN975.com. So much going on in the world of soccer, FIFA Club World Cup, Gold Cup. We're seeing great matches, goals, moments. We're seeing people cherry-pick games where there's no attendance. And say there's not great attendance. I don't know what it'll be overall, but there have been games with tremendous attendance, and there's been games with poor attendance. And it's all dependent on who were the teams playing. Streaming at ESPN975.com. Call in number 713-780-3776. Reminder, tonight going on at Shell Energy Stadium, you got Guatemala and Guadeloupe. And then that's followed tonight by Canada and El Salvador. El Salvador is still alive. That place will be a sea of blue tonight against Canada. El Salvador and Honduras sold this out a couple days ago. Remarkable. You know, the Salvadorian soccer fan, the Honduran soccer fan, the Central American soccer fan in general, another example of just the power that Houston has when it comes to international soccer, which, if we're really being honest, has not translated over to Houston Dynamo and Houston Dash in the MLS product. So, you know, somebody's got to take on that. I'd love to hear it. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to call into tonight. And give us your take. FIFA Club World Cup, Gold Cup. Nico Williams is rumored to go to Barcelona. I mean, there is more than enough things. Now, tonight, a little later on in the show, if you remember, this would be back in the 90s. The Houston Hotshots came after the team I played on in the 80s called the Houston Dynamos. We were outdoor. The game went indoor. Giorgio Bertolenghi was one of the owners here in Houston who did the four-leaf towers.
Played at the Compaq Center, right?
Played at the, the old Summit.
Summit at the time, maybe.
It's where the Rockets played. Yeah, they were tenants there. And the first year didn't have a very good team. But then they bought a guy named Paul Daugherty. And Paul Daugherty was a tremendous indoor player. Guy built low to the ground. He was a prototype indoor player. Quick, made a lot of things happen. And they got to the finals. And in the finals, the place was sold out. This was indoor soccer. Which is a completely different sport, in my opinion, to the outdoor game. One of the players on that team was a Brazilian named Gianpaolo Pedroso, who I've known for many years. I call him GP. He's going to be on the show later. He grew up in Brazil, outside of Rio, but grew up in the system of the legendary Flamengo. Now, Flamengo's playing in the FIFA Club World Cup. They beat Chelsea 3-1. And the Brazilian teams, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, have shown very well. But this is a very interesting interview with him because he's still in player development. And he straddled growing up in a top Brazilian club that produced players like Zico and Romario. And then came to the U.S. to play college soccer at SMU and was an All-American there and then spent a number of years professionally indoors. And he's in player development as well. So that'll be a good interview. Federico De Michelis will be in studio. He'll be calling in a bit to come upstairs, and we will have him on the air for a couple of segments. And Federico and I are going to bounce some topics around here. And, of course, throughout the night, the phone number is 713-780-3776. I've got tickets for the Gold Cup final as well. And right now, we do know that Mexico will play Saudi Arabia in the quarterfinals on Saturday, Sunday, U.S., Costa Rica. So it's all on the table tonight. We will talk about it, and it is now time for...
Game on, man.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Game on.
With Game On for 90.
All right, I'm on the clock here, and I, like many, was skeptical when the FIFA Club World Cup was announced. My first thought went to the players. How much can they take? How much workload can they handle? Can they withstand the volume of games, the minutes, the workload? And, of course, another FIFA cabbage and lettuce grab, and I think you know what that means. Secondarily, I thought, how serious would the teams be and big brands take this, and would there be an appetite for the matches and the concept of this? This is every 4 years. Now, after initial conversation, it seemed teams were hesitant, but when the prize money went to $1 billion, then the bait was hit. No one is against big brands like Real Madrid, PSG, and on coming to America after all. It is the land of golden honey and lots of football money. My skepticism now has dropped a level. There are some things wrong with this, but it has dropped. And the real story behind this tournament now is the platform that has been given to a number of different teams, South American clubs, and specifically for me, the Brazilian clubs, non-European clubs, who have huge history, just like European teams. And they have competed, and competed they have. Here's some context. European teams had gone 33 matches unbeaten versus South American teams from 2012 to 2025. FIFA Club World Cup, there has been a breakthrough. And I think we might have to update this, but you have seen South American teams do very, very well in this tournament. Fluminense, Palmeiras, Flamengo, Boca Juniors have all had big performances in this. But secondarily, the fandom and supporters for South American clubs and others has opened my eyes. It's opened the country's eyes. Not that we thought that they weren't supported well, but they have brought the party here in the FIFA Club World Cup a year out from the World Cup. Boca Juniors fans, what can you say about them? Botafogo fans, what can you say about them? They beat PSG 1-0. What a moment. Luis Enrique, the manager, said this is the best defensive team he's faced in Botafogo. South American teams are shining. And yes, global football and the attention of the fan is generally very Eurocentric. Premier League, Real Madrid, Barcelona. This FIFA Club World Cup has brought grand exposure to these legendary South American clubs with history, which frankly is as important as the European history. In addition now, I believe these clubs have opened our eyes. They have brought unique fans. The value may have gone up in the eyes of television network heads based on the platform of exposure they've gotten with European teams in the FIFA Club World Cup. Now, this is really important because, you know, these fans are coming from somewhere. A lot of them are based in the U.S. They're traveling. Some are coming from Brazil, no question. But this is a big moment for Brazilian football, which does need a big boost in a lot of ways with all the talented players there ahead of World Cup 2026. All right, we got that in. That is Game On for 90. So, on that, give me your thoughts on the FIFA Club World Cup. You know, people are really mixed on it. There's a lot of people that are simply too much workload. You notice the European players are complaining about the heat. The South Americans aren't. They're in the middle of their season. They're built for the heat, a little bit better than the European teams, no question. You can say that. Can't be an excuse. You use the platform for what it is. And to see these famous Brazilian teams like Fluminense, Palmeiras, Flamengo, Boca Juniors performing in this tournament as well as they have, and then you add into that the fandom, you're reminded about how much power there is in South America and why Argentina and Brazil are the greatest exporters of soccer players in the world. Their leagues don't get the attention of the Premier League, which is the best marketed league in the world. I don't think any question. They have the most money to spend in all aspects of their business. But there's something about this with the Brazilian fans, with the Argentine fans, with Boca Juniors and River, with the fact that they're getting a platform here against European teams. And this makes this tournament exciting. In the beginning, I was super skeptical. You can go back on the show and you'll hear me. Oh, here we go. Another money grab. They're going for the cabbage. But in the end, there are going to be a lot of positives taken out of this. And remember, this is only every 4 years. So here's something from a Brazilian fan. This comes from Route One Soccer. A guy named TC said, speaking as a Brazilian who doesn't support any of the four Brazilian teams in the Club World Cup, I believe Botafogo and Flamengo's matches showed that we have the power to play at similar levels to European teams, especially in cups. I think that if there were a points league, there's no way a Brazilian team would be able to compete with the Europeans, given our lack of consistency and bench depth. However, in a cup format, anything can happen. It was also funny to see so many Brazilians supporting our teams in the cup, regardless of whether you're that team's supporter or not. I think this is, in my eyes, visibly has been a remarkable boost for Brazilian football. It's exposed it to unique viewers and people that are very, very focused on the Premier League, don't want to give anything else an opportunity to impress them. So now I think, you know, network heads, investors, if they put more into this league, they spit shine it, they star build, they tell stories about the histories of these clubs. I think there's an opportunity to take this next level now. And I'm not saying it's going to surpass the Premier League, but I think there's a real opportunity that you can really bring the eyeballs of South America and the Brazilian professional leagues, the Argentine professional league, Copa Libertadores, Copa Sudamericana, their two tournaments, and you can take this next level. And look, as proven in this tournament, there is a hunger for Brazilian teams. Last night's game with Lionel Messi and Inter Miami with Palmeiras was a super exciting match. No question about it. Botafogo beat PSG. Flamengo beat Chelsea. What else did we have? Fluminense drew with Borussia Dortmund. Palmeiras drew with Porto. So these are all fantastic results. No question about it. Boca played well against Bayern Munich. They lost 2-1, but they played well. These are all significant moments for South American football. Now, that said, also significant for MLS. And you're going, oh, what are you talking about, Glenn? MLS lost. Well, what are you talking about? MLS lost. Doesn't matter. MLS was on the field with PSG in Seattle and performed well. Yeah, they lost 2-0 or 2-0 to PSG. PSG is the European champions. So every guy that's on the field for Seattle Sounders, it's a watershed moment. You're playing against Vitinha. You're playing against a team that's the European champions. Top of the heap. So much to be taken by MLS teams. LAFC taking on Chelsea. Admirable. Compete. Lose 2-0. So what? These are good moments. Inter Miami beat Porto 2-1 and then ended up drawing with Palmeiras, as I mentioned last night. I think we do have some of the sound. So let's go, Brian, to this is a great game. This was up and down. Inter Miami ran out of steam. Allende with the first goal after chested down by the one and only Luis Suarez.
And eventually, Redondo able to clear it long. As Inter Miami might be able to break now in numbers. Look at the space. Look at the time. Allende. Oh! Tadeo Allende!
So it comes off a long clearance. And Luis Suarez. Now, I put something out on Twitter today about Luis Suarez literally being damaged goods. This man is mangled. He's playing on one leg. Suarez would then pick up a goal here, which is, well, we'll talk about it after. Let's hear the goal call.
Brazilian fans are not liking it, I can tell you. Suarez. Luis Suarez. It's past one or two. Luis Suarez still for Inter Miami!
Man's 37 years old. Most people will talk about when he bit a player in the World Cup, right? He's 37 years old. You have to think so much of this is simply about sheer will, the want to continue to play, and the desire to continue to be on the field because of your love of the game. You can say whatever you want about him. He's dirty. He did some bad. This guy is dragging his body around out here to play. By the way, he destroyed the Dynamo on his own here early in the season. Absolutely destroyed them. All right, so Inter Miami and Javier Mascherano make some changes, and then all of a sudden Palmeiras is pounding away. Palmeiras, the up until their goal, were very poor in the final third. They were missing the final pass. Estevao's there. He's supposedly heading to Chelsea for $30 million. Their final pass wasn't there, and then they start to click. So here's Poligno makes it 2-1.
They've both been superb, haven't they, at the back? Maxi Falcone and Thomas Alves. That's a clever pass. Chance for Poligno!
Okay, and then Mauricio off the bench would tie it up. At this point, Inter Miami had a chance to get a third, but Mauricio ties it up.
Piqueres. That one lofted it into Lopez. Falcone!
Oh, indeed it did. Interestingly enough, the former Dynamo, Fafa Pico, came off the bench. He was wide open at the back post to make it 3-1, and his control let him down, and the ball bounced away. He had a bit of a nightmare coming off the bench, if we're being honest. And then he dove in on a tackle right before the tying goal, or the first goal, I think, for Palmeiras. So I felt sad for him because he had a chance to make it 3-1 and score a remarkable goal. Imagine that, Fafa Pico here in Houston. All of a sudden goes to Inter Miami and he's dropped on the team. He might have had, no, I guess he went to Nashville first. And now you're on a team with Messi. It's like being a kid on the team with Caitlin Clark. You're playing in front of 17, 18,000. All of a sudden you get all this attention. There's a kid on Inter Miami. His name is Benjamin Kramaski, who many of my listeners will know. American kid. He's Argentine descent. Grew up in Miami. But he's American. I think he's had a national team opportunity or youth national team. He's in the top 20 in jersey sales in MLS simply because he's a good player. But he's got the boost from... He's got the Messi boost. And the whole WNBA gets the Clark boost. Nobody wants to admit it. They want to pretend it's all about them. 37% of the revenue in that league is tied to a single female player. All right, let's stop the nonsense, everybody. All right, we're going to come back. I got Pep Guardiola talking about the FIFA Club World Cup and what it means. You'll hear from the legendary Pep. As we go to break, Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. You get the best in souvlaki, gyros. You get the lamb shank. They got a great bunch of salads in there where you can get chicken on them for those that are even a little bit more health conscious. Great bakeries. They've got three locations. You got the Woodlands. You got Beltway 8 and I-10. You got the original down in Montrose, which is my favorite still. That's the one that I like to pop into. It is Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. This is Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Pep Guardiola sound when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You've been working here all night long. Let me see if I can give you better. Even when I'm fucking gone, I know you're working for me. You've been working here all night long. Let me see if I can give you better. Even when I'm fucking gone, I know you're working for me.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, so you didn't think I knew a little bit about Skrillex, did you, Brian McDonald?
I did not. No, I wasn't expecting that story.
Cactus Music will love this, too. We got a good list of music tonight, too. I have so much fun putting the music list together. I will take suggestions from Soccer Matters listeners, by the way, if you would like. I think Skrillex comes in here in a minute. 713-780-3776 is a number. Is the number to call in here tonight. All right, we have tickets to give away tonight here. We got a doubleheader down at Shell Energy Stadium. Tomorrow night we got Destination 2026, our World Cup show. We've got some Dick Advocaat, who is one of the legendary managers from the Netherlands, has coached the Netherlands national team three times. Think about that for a second. Has also been the coach of Russia, South Korea. He's been to two World Cups. We have some sound from him we're going to play tonight as he was in town with Curaçao. And Curaçao is a Dutch island. They hired him to help kind of get them to the World Cup. They're still in the qualifying process, so they're hoping with 48 teams that they have a shot to get to the World Cup. Now, the FIFA Club World Cup, which is a completely different thing, which we were just talking about, pits the best club teams in the world. So there's a lot of takeaways from this. Now, you're getting complaints from the European teams mostly. Jude Bellingham of Real Madrid was complaining about the fields. There's been complaints about the heat, which, you know, I think that would be natural if you're playing games in the afternoon in Nashville, Tennessee right now or anywhere else. There have been a lot of afternoon games. So I can understand why that's effectual. But it's been very interesting. So when an Auckland City ties Boca Juniors and... that's a team from New Zealand, ties the Boca Juniors. What do you think that does for the history of that club? That's probably the greatest result in their history. So when you get these matchups, great things happen because these are matchups that don't occur very often. So there is a lot to take away from these games. Benfica beats Bayern Munich today, right? Hey, two European teams, but, you know, that's a big win for Benfica. Botafogo, as I mentioned before, beat PSG a couple weeks ago, won the European Championship, Champions League winners. Inter Miami defeats Porto. It's quite possibly the biggest win in the history of Major League Soccer, right there. Inter Miami over Porto. That's a nice sound, isn't it? If you're an MLS fan. Even you people out there who don't like Leo Messi and think they get all advantages and forget that all the owners are in on the Messi experiment. Don't ever forget that. So if you want to call him a contrived club or Golden Balls FC or whatever for David Beckham, just remember this is a centralized league and everybody's happy with it because we're sharing a lot of dinero. We share everything. That's the way it goes. So there's pros and cons to that. A shared league leads to, you know, with 18 playoff spots, leads to, I have to be fair here and honest, but I think it does lead to some boredom at times. A lot of teams playing overly data organized, I think. I think that's going to be a problem for Major League Soccer in the future when it comes to the type of presentation of the football you're playing. It's a bit mechanical at times, a bit robotic. And this is another reason why you like watching in Brazil. And Brazilian football, with some investment in television, could have a real opportunity here. 713-780-3776. Let me know tonight if you are enjoying the FIFA Club World Cup or the Gold Cup. Or do you think there's just too much saturation? Or you could be both. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. Gianni Infantino, on the rise of soccer in the United States, he's not a guy that thinks there's too much soccer. Here's what he said on the rise of soccer in the U.S. Infantino, the president of FIFA. By the way, can't even kick a soccer ball. There's a video out there about him. But anyway, I guess I'm getting mean here. I shouldn't be. I'm sorry. Do I get too negative sometimes on this show? 713-780-3776. All right, so here's what Infantino said. He said 3 to 4, maximum 5 years, and this is U.S. soccer he's talking about. It will be top, one of the top leagues in the world for sure. And I can tell you why. Because now I'm here. Whatever the hell that means. Just because you're here, we're going to be top? Okay. That's what FIFA president Gianni Infantino said on the future of soccer in America. One thing that's never going to go away, okay, and don't ever forget this, and we can't forget this, because this is a challenge unlike any other in other countries. We have three traditional American sports, and that's before we talk about hockey. Okay? So it will never solely be the sport. It's going to be one of three other traditional sports, and everybody on this sports landscape wants a piece of the action. I'm not here saying soccer's got to be number one. Soccer's got so many participants in this country, so many people that love the sport. Who cares? Who cares? It's about making soccer better. Sure, take best practices from other sports, learn from other sports, and be part of the sports landscape with American football, basketball, and baseball. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, with the way the game is moving forward in this country, I think our biggest issues are our player development. How is this country not producing more individual dribblers, more game changers? Why is that? Or are they just not getting through the system to the top because people are so focused on the physical output? How does Vitinha get on PSG as a small diminutive player that's razor sharp technically and does everything differently in order to be an impact? I mean, that goal that he scored in the final against Inter, where he picks up the ball, passes it to a center back. What, the guy's what, 5'6", 5'7"? Passes it to the center back, gets it back, knocks it forward, gets it back, all of a sudden is running at the heart of a defense and lays on the final pass for the goal. That was remarkable. Somebody had to believe in him. Somebody didn't prejudge or predetermine his ability based on simply the physical prowess. And there's too much of that. We don't give these young technical players enough opportunity. I can't think it's because those in youth coaching now, and I was a long time ago, but it's completely different now with the accent of money in there. I would just say, are we encouraging people and kids and youth to take people on one-on-one? Beat them off the dribble? Are we doing that at the expense of winning and losing soccer games at under 11, 12, 13, 14? I sure hope we are. But I know we're not. Anyway, I mean, there should be 50 Jack McGlynns, you know, with a left foot in the United States. There should be more Christian Pulisics who take people on. 713-780-3776. Got a city full of people developing soccer talent. Talk. 713-780-3776 is the number. Okay, I promised Pep Guardiola sound about the FIFA Club World Cup before I got off on the tangent there. So here's Pep Guardiola talking about the FIFA Club World Cup.
I had the feeling that it's a privilege to be here. For the people say, why it's so annoying, why you should be here. Here's a privilege because in 4 years' time, it's not going to happen again. I love when I see Botafogo, Fluminense, all the team, Brazilian team, Argentinian teams, how celebrate the goals, how they are together. I am by them. I love them. I like them. It's cultural for the fans are more here than European teams. But the way they live every single action is because, and this is all about.
So there's Pep Guardiola. He likes this tournament. You can tell. And he likes the Brazilian teams. And remember, he went for a time period to Mexico, I think as a player, at the end of his career, because he basically wanted to get some ideas about Mexican football and everything that was going on down there. But there's no doubt, so far, the FIFA Club World Cup has been an incredible opportunity, incredible app, platform. And I know it has been for other teams as well, but I'm focusing on the Brazilian teams because of the size and strength of that country. So pretty good to hear, Pep Guardiola speaking about that as well in the FIFA Club World Cup. So good stuff right there. So Canada, El Salvador tonight, by the way. So I had a friend of mine in New Orleans. He goes, oh, my God, what's going on in Houston? There's nobody at Shell Energy Stadium for Canada and Curacao. And I said, do yourself a favor. Watch like as ants, this stadium will fill up because El Salvador and Honduras is the next game. And lo and behold, the place was packed, Shell Energy Stadium. And every time Shell Energy sells out and it's El Salvador, Honduras, we all go back to the question, why doesn't the MLS product, a.k.a. the Houston Dynamo, draw like that? There's all these people from all over the world. And just haven't addressed these groups. I mean, they're all unique potential fans.
I think, because I heard Dell talking about this exact same topic, and I thought he made a good point. Now, the bad point, if he's right, then I don't know what you do to combat it. But I think to a degree, like, as an American, when I watch the NFL, but I don't watch the USFL, leagues that are viewed as minor league compared to the best league in the world, which that would be the MLS comparison, of course, to Champions, Premier League, whatever league you would deem to be the best. So I don't know how you overcome that, but I think that could be a part of the picture.
Well, that's the low hanging fruit that will always be there. That's called competition. And that's the difference between the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NFL. They're top dogs, right? People can sit at home and watch the Premier League every weekend. Or if you're a fan of the Mexican League, you can sit at home. But that means your front office and everybody has to have a bigger vision. They have to be more authentic in their soccer, I would say, acumen, as respectful as I'm trying to be respectful here. But you have to court these groups. You can't be afraid of them. And if you can't talk to them and don't have passion for the game, that's a problem. So it's easy to say these things, and we've been saying these things for years. This is nothing new. This is the same thing that was said 5 years ago. Why wouldn't you want to go to a live game if you had a nice product? Wouldn't you rather be in a stadium? There's a lot of things, but this is the competition that you face on a daily basis when you're Major League Soccer in certain markets like Houston. No question. You know the market. You should know the market. People that love the game here. We're getting the World Cup here because of the attendance at international soccer matches. So, you know, Got to get people in there that really understand Houston, understand the youth community, understand the inclusive soccer culture. And by the way, soccer is the most inclusive game in the world. Don't fragment it. Keep it inclusive. All right, by the way, you're never going to hear a show in Houston where you get Johnny Thunders and the Heartbreakers. This man had a very tragic ending to his life. But Johnny Thunders was a lower Manhattan, New York, Bowery kind of guy in the group The Heartbreakers, and was a guitar player. He's also a heroin addict, to brighten your day. But passed away in New Orleans. There was a real controversy over what happened to him. If it was a drug deal going bad, if he OD'd, I don't know. But he was a pretty cool guitar player. He had style. Cactus Music for the best in vinyl, the best in CDs, T-shirts. You go down there, there's a lot of time you can spend in there. All right, Club World Cup, Copa de Oro, the Gold Cup. A lot more to talk about tonight. I got some Nico Ladero and Dynamo news when we come back. It's Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Reminder, Senate Avenue Brewing. You go up to Jersey Village, 290 Senate Avenue exit. It's where we do our live shows every month, once a month, up there with Andrew Mitchum and company. The best in fresh beer, the best in food, big outdoor patio. Going up there for a celebration this weekend prior to the Dynamo game. Dynamo will be at home, and they will be taking on St. Louis City this weekend. Opportunity for the Dynamo to get it done at home under Ben Olson and company. HoustonDynamo.com for those tickets. But Senate Avenue Brewing, a great place to watch soccer and get the freshest in beer. It's all brewed there in the mornings. It's good stuff. Take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, Daspit Law Firm.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Def Leppard. You know, Brian, big soccer fans. Sheffield United. Or Sheffield Wednesday, one of the Sheffield teams. That's where they're from. So back when I was playing, and I'm not going to tell you what year this was, front office says, we need you to go out to a field. There's a rock band that wants to have a game, and we need a couple of our players down there for promotional purposes, and, you know, go down there, and... So all these long-haired guys. There's like 1,500 to 2,000 screaming little girls, like teenagers. I'm like, man, who are these? Anyway, it's Def Leppard. Drummer had both arms at the time.
Well, luckily, if he was playing soccer, it wouldn't have been as crucial.
Yeah, Joe Elliott was there. And it was when they were just breaking it big in America. So... gave tickets to the concert, too. Pretty cool. But they're big soccer fans. I remember Sting came to Houston and set up a game. I had teammates that played in that game. Sting wasn't too good, apparently. And he didn't really run like an athlete, but he's a hell of a bass player. Let's just leave it at that.
You're saying a better bass player than soccer player?
Probably. Now, he's from Newcastle, so he's probably a big Newcastle United fan. So this is how the great game of soccer intersects with music. And as we know, this will be a World Cup that'll be very, from the standpoint of crossing over with food, music, technology, this will be next level. There's all kinds of collaborating and things that are going to be very different with music and food, next level for this. So, all right, so that's the legendary Def Leppard. All right. Bringing on the heartache, right? They have a little German at the beginning of that song. Okay, so we come back here, a little precursor on a couple of things. So next segment, Federico De Michelis is going to join us. Actually, I'll bring him in at the end of this segment just to get the introduction out of the way so we can bang out two segments of a lot of good talk. Here's what I love about the media. I don't love the media, actually, because it is so suggestive now that it's sad. It's not even about... But People Magazine decides to get in a little bit of soccer conversation, and it's about a stadium collapse and three people dying and 70 injured in Algeria. But nothing about, you know, the FIFA Club World Cup, the mass of people from all over the world coming here that love soccer. We're going to report on a stadium collapse. That's what they choose in Algeria. So I find that kind of funny. And it's been interesting watching the coverage of the FIFA Club World Cup. And let's face it. I mean, even me on the radio, you can sense where I lean on certain soccer topics. It's part of the job. It's a bit of opinion. Doesn't mean you have to agree. And for sure, nobody's always right in this. It's subjective. It's opinion. It's judgment. It's the way you see something. That's why it's great. By the way, 713-780-3776. The number to call in here tonight on anything, FIFA Club World Cup, Gold Cup. But that's what makes it fun, is that we can all, you know, somebody can look at the Dynamo and say, hey, I love the team right now. Others can say, well, wait a second, what are we trying to do this year? Are we trying to win MLS Cup? What are we trying to do? It seems to be a work in progress all the time. I get it. Injuries, players sold. Some of that you have control over. Some of it you don't. But this is professional sports. If Jack McGlynn is sold this summer, what does that say to a fan base? And we'll talk about this tonight. What does that say to your fan base? Does that say you're trying to win the MLS Cup? I mean, it's your creative fulcrum that you're going to give away. Now, what if before he signed with the Dynamo, which, by the way, there was a piece of video out. He had no idea he was coming to the Houston Dynamo and being offloaded to Philadelphia Union from the Union. This is professional sports. This is what happens. He was on a vacation. He didn't even know. But if he is sold in the summer, that can be looked at a lot of ways. And by the way, if you're planning on selling him, well, who's going to replace him? And then are we going to be in that mode again? Okay, we got to integrate this guy into the team. Well, guess what? The playoffs are coming soon, but 18 playoff spots. Not 12, 18. But if McGlynn goes, that is a statement. And fans are just starting to fall in love with this kid, right? Because now he's performing on the national team. We finally got a national team player. After DeMarcus Beasley, that's impactful. It's getting a real opportunity. That's, quite frankly, I think Mauricio Pochettino likes a lot about him, including being left-footed, right, and his delivery, which we have seen in Houston. We've seen him from long range. This kid's got a heck of a shot at making the World Cup, okay, and going to the promised land. And he's one of ours. But if he goes, might be a lean towards, hey, it's an investment club. It's more commercial than a football club. There's nothing wrong with saying that. And there's nothing wrong with being an investor. But you have to know what your club is. And then you determine if you like that or you don't like that. If simply getting down to live games is all it's about, then it's fine. Some people want to win the MLS Cups. Some people want to just go for the social side of it. Some people, you know, we all go for different reasons. But authenticity is needed for the Houston Dynamo. Authenticity. It's definitely needed. 713-780-3776. A more extensive media is needed here in Houston when it comes to the MLS product. We don't even have a beat writer. We don't even have a beat writer for the Houston Dynamo anymore. Dynamo and Dash are out of sight right now. Out of sight. Because of the Gold Cup. I mean, most people don't even know they're playing tomorrow night in Minnesota. They're out of sight, out of mind because of the Gold Cup and the FIFA Club World Cup, which are obviously going to take the main platform. And we'll get into that in the next two or three segments. So I'm reminding you, final segment of the night will be Giampaolo Pedroso. He will be joining us in that final segment. Now, that's a really, really good interview because he's going to explain about growing up at a famous football club, how he was identified, how he got into the system at Flamengo in Brazil. He's going to talk about growing up in Brazil and opportunity. And he's going to talk about coming to America and playing in the college game at SMU and then becoming a professional indoor soccer player. Giampaolo Pedroso was kind of the prototype. There were guys like Tatu, Paul Dougherty, built low to the ground, that were just explosive and better in the indoor game. And he was an excellent indoor player and typical Brazilian, skilled, top to bottom. And he's in player development. So I think you're going to like that interview a lot. I just posted the picture of him and Zico on Twitter at Glenn Davis Sock. And then you can follow us also at Soccer Matters GD Instagram as well. I'll get it up on Instagram eventually, but Twitter at Glenn Davis Sock. All right. Good friend, Federico De Michelis, just popped in studio. We're going to give his intro now so that when we come back, we got two good segments to knock a lot of things around. Federico, welcome back in. By the way, Federico is a professional opera singer. We're not going to ask him to sing here, but he, as I've mentioned, you've heard him on the show before. He's a professional opera singer. You heard me talk, Federico. By the way, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Glenn.
Yeah, good to see you. You heard me talking about how this World Cup, I think, is going to exceed anything when it comes to crossover, collaboration, interest in music, food, technology, all these things, which Houston, you can see people networking and getting ready for this to all kind of come to a head next summer.
Yeah, I think it's going to be special. You know, it's you don't have something like this every day. It's really once in a lifetime for a lot of people. And we got to take advantage of it as a city as well.
Yeah, and it'll leave a lasting legacy here. There's no question about it. You only got one shot at it, and, you know, the Houston has a World Cup committee. They're working extremely hard to get everything in shape. As a host of it, one of the hosts, along with Mexico and Canada, we can provide a lot to the world and a world-class experience. I don't think anybody in the world puts on events like the United States. I think we're pretty much at the top of that category. But it's going to be something that will also, you know, what we hear is, you know, Fan Fest is going to be amazing. There's no question in Edo, and they're preparing for that. But there's going to be a lot of tertiary stuff all over the city, different locations. People are already planning. There are people, I think, Federico, that are going to use this as a base because we're in the middle of the country to go to other places.
Yeah, I'm hearing from friends from Argentina. They're going to try to do that.
Yeah, what are they saying?
Especially they have me here, right? So it's an easy one for them. But it's not a sporting event. I think that's what I'm trying to make people understand. You know, it's a cultural event. This is the center of the culture of the world. I know it sounds like a lot. You would think a theater, you would think, no. Soccer, football, it is the cultural phenomenon that takes over anything else.
Yeah, good stuff. All right. You are not going anywhere. Two segments with Federico coming up, then Giampaolo Pedroso. Tomorrow night, by the way, you've got Destination 2026. I was going to run some of the Dick Advocaat tonight, the legendary manager of the Netherlands. We're going to hold that off for tomorrow night in Destination 2026 because Federico's there. Rest in peace, Mick Ralphs, former guitar player, Bad Company. and Mata Hoople. You know Mata Hoople, Brian? Tell you what.
No, I haven't heard of that one.
Well, I put on the list the Mata Hoople song. Let's come back with that.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll come back with a little Mata Hoople. But they were kind of a glam rock and roll band. But tomorrow night, Destination 26, it's everything about, you know, the World Cup and the World Cup in our city and all these different things. I'm going to have the VP of Operations of the World Cup Committee here in Houston, World Cup 2026, John Coppins on, and he will talk about the field and Energy Stadium. Break time.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.